Well, I'm going to pick up where I left off on Wednesday. You were watching the stream, and last Sunday I started sharing some thoughts on the subject of faith. How many know you can teach on faith and share it and meditate on it, and you never really reach the depths of it because God is ever revealing to us? So we're all different levels of faith, and He opens up your understanding. He reveals to you things you didn't see in the Word before. And you go, wow, look at that. I never saw that, right? Well, that's an aha moment. So we're ever increasing in revelation, which means faith comes by hearing. Romans 10:17. Say it with me. Faith comes. It comes, right? By hearing, and hearing how? By the Word of God. Well, that if you look up that word, the Word, it means rhema. That means something revealed to us, not logos. So you can read and 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 listen and listen and listen, but without revelation, there no faith comes. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God, or rhema, that comes. So when you see something and you know something, what's the next thing we should do? Do something with what He showed us. He didn't just show us so we'd have goosebumps, right? God didn't just show us just to be shown. God always does something for a purpose. He's the what? God is the author and the finisher of our faith. So that means it's His responsibility. And if we take the time to meditate in the Word, He'll show us some things. And then He expects for us to do something with that, right? And so that's with all of us. And we're all learning, we're all growing, so we've not arrived. You could, this is a lifelong objective, a lifelong mission to do what? Know Him. This is what we learned at Life in the Spirit, that it's great, you know, like Jim Hockaday said, you know, it's the Word, the Word, the Word, the Word. We're confessing the Word, the Word, the Word. And he said, yeah, that's right, but we need to know Him. Because when we know Him, He'll reveal Himself to us through the Word. And yet, we do need to speak the Word. But we need, just like we heard the testimony this morning, we need to follow Him in His direction, and then He'll show us what to do. That comes through relationship, right? Hallelujah. So, continuing on that, just talking about faith involves an action. So without faith, it says it's impossible to please God. So you could say without faith, When you see something and you don't do something, it's not pleasing to God. You could go that route if you want to look at that scripture that way. It says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. But faith without works is lifeless. So without doing something, it's not pleasing to God. Because he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and then he's a rewarder. Well, when I believe that he is, I'm following after him. I'm doing something that he tells me to do, right? I'm obeying him. So I wanted to pick up here again today where we were on Sunday or Wednesday. But, you know, it came... been in my heart lately, you know, talking about this subject of faith and speaking. The motto of the church keeps coming up in my heart, and I said, you know, we don't say it enough. We don't speak it enough, because God gave that motto to Pastor Sarah on their way back from Bible school for a purpose. And I said, when we, you know, it's twofold. I believe it's a confession that we can speak, and we speak corporately, but it's individual. Because I am a place where the love of God is evident. I am a place where the word of God resides and is spoken. I am a place where the Spirit of God directs. He directs me because I know him. And I am a place where the power of God manifests. We need to say that. And we need to believe it, that he is that in me. And so God wants to raise up a people that will believe him. You know, we've got accounts all through the Old Testament where he said, I've given you the promised land. And he showed them how, you know, to go in and take it. And they had a, you know, he said, select these people to go from the tribes, one from each tribe. They went in. And only two came back. Who was it? Joshua, Caleb. And they had to spend 40 years listening to them jokers. And they were the only two from that generation that went into the promised land. That's not a good testimony. So God has raised up a people, and I believe here, that will are beginning to see, you know, after all these years, you know, I go back and I look at prophecies, and I'm going to get to my message in a minute, but just kind of, you know, as they say, just kind of flow here a little bit. But I like to look at prophecies, words that have been spoken over either me individually, that helps me or you. You look at words that you should write them down. You know, when we say we honor God, when you don't even honor, and when you don't even write down some instruction that God has given you, are you honoring him? Well, the answer is no. You're taking it lightly. So I go back, and we've made an effort to transcribe, and so I look at them periodically. And it reminds me of one of the prophecies that was given by Brother Copeland back in 2000, I believe it's 2003. And Pastor Sarah and Clinton were at a Brother Copeland convention in Philadelphia. And she went to the meeting, and Pastor Clinton stayed in the hotel. And he began to share some prophetic words. And he said, and I'm paraphrasing here, he said that it's taken 20 plus years to build a foundation, and you've just completed the foundation after 20 plus years. And he said, some foundations take longer to build because of what they're going to have to support. And we all know this. You got a different kind of foundation for the World Trade Center than you do for your home. And so some foundations, he said, by the Spirit of God, take longer to build. That's why it's not good to compare ourselves with people and churches, because each church has a different assignment. They're like, well, why are they doing that? Why aren't we doing that? Because we weren't assigned to do that. And you better know that, because you can be swayed all over the place. And you need to stick with what you're assigned to do. And so I kind of go back and I look at just why did the Holy Ghost give that motto? Because he wants to individually if we start to speak that over ourselves, number one, we'll walk in love. Number two, we'll feed on the word of God and meditate on it day and night and make our ways prosperous. Number three, we'll be directed by the Holy Ghost. And four, the power of God will operate in you. And then that collectively, when you gather, will create a mighty manifestation where when the people come together, all the love of God is evident. The word of God is taught. The spirit of God is directing and the power of God is manifested because it's operating in them. Does everybody get that? I mean, you can confess all you want. We can all go through the motion and confess it, and it mean nothing if you don't obey it. But when you start personally and make that personal, that I'm going to walk in the love of God, I'm a place where the love of God is evident, and I feed on the word of God. I meditate on it day and night, and the Holy Ghost directs me, and the power of God operates in me and through me. Well, when we get together, boom! That's what that is. Boom! Power is released because the power of God's operating in you. You're walking in the Spirit because now you're thinking more about spiritual things and letting spiritual realities operate in you. Because you're meditating on it. You're talking it. You're believing it. And you're looking to operate that way. Does that register with you? Oh, it does with me. Amen. So, anyways, I just wanted to share that. Because it's stirring in me. That we need to talk about it more. We need to say it more. We need to say, man, when you come here, you're going to experience the love of God. When you come to this place, you're going to experience the word of God. And when you come here, the Spirit of God is manifesting himself. And when you come here, you're going to experience the power of God. We say that, boy, it'll explode. Because people today, it's Matthew 24, the world is hurting people because the devil hates people. And people are looking to be loved. They're looking to be, you know, not cuddled, but I'm saying just loved with the love of God. And people are looking for the word of God, not some watered down junk. And people are looking, you know, isn't it interesting? You don't even have to be a mature in the word of God and mature as a Christian. You're a spirit. And when truth is spoken, you'll go, that makes me feel good. When the word of God, what did Jesus say? My words are spirit and life. And when the word is taught, when there's unction in it, they'll recognize it. They'll recognize it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So let's turn. I'm trying to get over here now. Let's start. James, we were started here on Wednesday. James Chapter 1, New Living Translation. I kind of just said the same thing just previous to this, but James chapter 1 and verse 22 through 26 in the New Living. They'll put it up on the screen for you if you don't have it. But it says, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Say, do it. Do it. Do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. Verse 26, if you claim to be religious, but don't control your tongue, you are fooling yourself, and your religion is worthless. Ouch. Now, we just shared on that, we highlighted that last Sunday, that every one of us in here has had opportunities to see something in the Word of God. Every one of us. And we're all growing. So we see something. And then what are we supposed to do? Do it. We're supposed to obey. And what it means is you start taking steps to reach what the instruction was. It's like you losing weight. You didn't lose all that weight all at once. You didn't gain it all at once. But when you want to lose it, what do? You start taking steps in that direction to lose it. You start doing something, right? And so that's all we're saying, that when God shows us something, we start moving in that direction. He sees your heart. And you start doing, and he gives you the power to do it. So this is really what we're saying here, that when the Word of God says, for if you listen to the word and don't obey, it is like glancing at yourself in a mirror. You see yourself, you walk away, and you forget what you look like. That's what we were saying. When you see something clearly and you don't obey, when we walk away and we don't do it, you get about 5 minutes later, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, an hour later, 2 hours, and you go, what was that the Lord showed me? And you start to forget. And that's all we're saying. That when you see something, you start to obey, and he'll give you more light, more insight. So we need to obey. That's what we're saying here. And our faith is connected. We need to see something. That's why God gave us an imagination. Brother Hagin always used to say this, you already are healed. Faith is now. Faith exists in his realm. Well, we're a spirit, and my spirit communicates with the heavenly realm or with heaven through the Spirit of God. And so I'm in contact, I'm connected with heaven, you could say, by my spirit. He lives in me. And so what we're saying is that this realm of faith is now. Now faith is. So what does that mean? Healing is now. It exists. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of something not seen. Well, that's this realm. So how do I bring that which exists over into this realm? By faith. And faith, when it's acted upon, releases God to do something and to cause it to come into this realm. It begins to manifest in this realm. Faith causes the power of God to go into operation. Isn't that good to know? So faith is now. It exists. Say it exists. So my healing exists. My prosperity exists. Wisdom exists. So how do I bring the wisdom of God over into this realm so I know what to do? By faith. And I start meditating in the Word of God. That's what Joshua 1:8 said. Let's look at that for a moment. in the Amplified Classic, Joshua 1:8, in the Amplified, says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe and do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall deal wisely and have good success." Boy, we all want good success, and we all want to deal wisely, but there's some conditions, isn't there? We have to meditate on the word of God and let it not stop coming out of our mouth. So as other ministers have said, we have a covenant word. God watches over his word to bring it to pass. So we need to, when we're walking through things and we're experiencing certain things, we need to speak the word and not our circumstance, because that takes time. You know, faith is now, but from the time we release faith until we see something in the natural, time is involved. Even Jesus, when he cursed the fig tree, it was the next day. So there's time involved, and we get itchy, don't we? This flesh just wants everything. I want it now. We're so used to just pushing a button, and we got it. And boy, when there's any time involved, boy, this flesh doesn't like it, does it? I want it now. I mean, how many remember when you got your first computer? I remember. And then we thought, oh man, this is awesome. And then about a year later, why does this thing take so long? And now, forget about it. That everything is instant. You've got now, instead of having regular hard drives, we've got SSD, we got solid state, we got basically a big jump drive in our computer now, and it just boots up instant. And we're like, why is this taking so long? It's instant, and we're still complaining. So, unfortunately, we need to now have wisdom, and we not to just get impatient and start talking junk, talking stuff, right? I mean, to me, we've been sharing this at prayer on Wednesdays. If you just look at the news and you see stuff that's going on, you know, I've shared this, that God is looking at the states. And he's looking at how they stand, or where do they stand with him. And I can tell you, you can look at just in the natural. And I'm excited about this because I believe I see it. And maybe because it's just something in me, I see. You're beginning to see people in the natural, whether they're spiritual or not, they're getting really upset with conditions in society. And people are going, what the heck is going on? You know, I was just, where was it? A few days ago, I was over across the street at this health food store, and I was getting some supplements. And these few of them, they come from Nepal, and you know, they're very lovely people. They you know, they tend to that over there. And one guy said to me, "What is going on in society?" I didn't even say nothing. I said nothing. I'm going over to buy supplements. And he goes, "What is going on?" So I just listened for a moment, and I said to him, I said, "You know what's going on?" I said, "The further people move away from God, the crazier things get." And I said, I just left it, I just kind of just said that. I said, because people have decided to move away from worshiping God, it's reflected in society. And he goes, well, that's true. That's all you have to do. You don't have to preach nothing to people. People are waking up. They're like, and you know what that's from? Prayer. God, the prayers of the saints are causing people to awaken and like, what? I don't like this. And they're beginning to stand up. And I said, good. So we're beginning to see it. And I said, people are starting to speak. And I believe you're seeing a shift where God is going to be exalted and not kicked out, because the government will be upon his shoulders. And we're going to see righteousness back in those that lead. I'm not looking for pastors to lead. I'm just looking for people that will acknowledge God and look to him for direction when laws are made, so that we can be blessed. But we have a responsibility to do what? Pray for them. Because, boy, they need help. I would not want to be in that position. So here, again, Psalm 1. Let's take a look at this. Psalm 1 in the Amplified, Psalm 1 and 2. Psalm 1 and 2 in the Amplified, classic, says, blessed, happy, fortunate, prosperous, and enviable is the man who walks and lives not in the counsel of the ungodly, following their advice, their plans, and purposes, nor stands submissive and inactive in the path where sinners walk, nor sits down to relax and rest where the scornful and the mockers gather. But his delight and desire are in the law of the Lord. And on his law, the precepts, the instructions, the teachings of God, he habitually meditates, ponders, and studies by day and night. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 3. This is the New Living Translation. So those who control their tongue will have a long life. Opening your mouth can ruin everything. Oh, yeah. You know, it reminds me, you know, when you live long enough, you see things. I remember when I worked on a corporate job this years ago, many, many years ago, I was a director over in the IT area, and I had a programming team. We did software programming. And periodically, and I met mostly with certain projects, I would meet with vice presidents and different people in that, and to get certain direction and objectives in certain areas of the company. And then once in a great while, you had audience with the CEO. I had a few times. And I remember I was at a meeting of directors, and we had a company lodge. This was a utility company, local here. And we had on the property up near Port Jervis, way above that, we had 30,000 acres up there, and they had a lodge on it. They owned it for lumber. Anyways, we were there, and the CEO was there with some other corporate execs. And one of the guys that I worked with, the CEO, this is what I'm talking about, keeping your mouth shut. He had a very strong Boston accent. And he was a no-nonsense guy. He was a CEO, very short, very no-nonsense. And he always called his secretary Masha, you know, it was very strong. And this guy I worked with mocked that accent. He just, not when I say mock, he brought it up. He wasn't from Boston. And he wanted to kind of put up a little Boston accent. Boy, it didn't go over. He opened his mouth, and the CEO later, I heard, called him a brilliant, you can put in whatever little things, but he called him something, and he was on a fast track to go somewhere, and he went nowhere because he opened his mouth. He was a fool, and he ended up leaving the company after that. Didn't have to. This is the Good News Bible. It says, be careful what you say and protect your life. A careless talker destroys himself. So it's good that we just speak the word. Speak what we see, what God shows us. Speak that I'm healed. Don't talk sickness. Don't talk lack. Talk health. Talk prosperity. Speak that because it is in his realm. He shed his blood for you. How do you bring that over into this realm? How, help me. It's by faith. By faith, you're going to speak it, and the power of God is released in your life to make that a reality in your life. But it takes time. It takes time. Sometimes we get itchy because we're waiting for something for 20 years. And we're like, well, maybe nothing. If he showed you and he spoke it to you, then it will come to pass if you don't let go. I heard Jerry Seville say something recently. He was sharing at a Kenneth Copeland meeting. He said, when I first started in the ministry, I had no money, none, zero. And he said, I said, somebody is going to give a one-time $1 million offering to my ministry. And he said, 40 years later, it happened. But it happened. So God, when he speaks something to you, you stick with it. You keep speaking it. Hallelujah. Whether it's his word or whether it's something he spoke to you in his word. So let's jump back over here. I want to look at James again. Chapter 2, verses 14 through 26. But I want to look at this. We'll look at it in the New Living. I just want to go over this again. Because New York State is not a losing state. New York State is a place where God reigns. And I believe that there are churches rising up all over New York State, and the tide is going to turn where he's exalted, and the things that are going on are changing. They're changing. New Living Translation, James 2:14. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say goodbye and have a good day, stay warm and eat well, but then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? Verse 17, so you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. Continuing, now someone may argue, some people have faith, others have good deeds. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? Or actions. I will show you my faith by my good deeds, or you could say by my actions. You say you have faith for you believe that there is one God. Good for you. Even the demons believe this and they tremble in terror. How foolish. Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless? Don't you remember that our ancestor Abraham was shown to be right with God by his actions when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? Verse 22, you see, his faith and his actions work together. His actions made his faith complete. And so it happened just as the scriptures say. Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. He was even called the friend of God. And you see, we are shown to be right with God by what we do, not by faith alone. Rahab, the prostitute, is another example. She was shown to be right with God by her actions when she hid those messengers and sent them safely away by a different road. Just as the body is dead without breath, so also faith is dead, morte. It's dead without good works, or you could say without an action. So when you see something and you know to do it, there needs to be a corresponding action. You need to start moving in that direction. You say, I see that. Yes, Lord, obey, and you move. That's our response. So let's take a look at 2 Corinthians. I wanted to look at this, 2 Corinthians. Chapter 4 and verse 13. You know, it's interesting. When you look at Hebrews 11:1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, something that's expected, the evidence of things not seen. It never said it's the substance of things that don't exist, because it does exist. It's just not existing in the seen realm, but it exists. So it never said faith is the substance of things that don't exist. Faith is the substance of things not seen, but they exist. They just don't exist where they're tangible yet. But they exist in his realm. See? So 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, I'm going to read this in the New International Version. It says, it is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. With the same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. This is the Bible in basic English. I like this. They'll put that up. Says, but having the same spirit of faith, as it is said in the writings, the words of my mouth, I like this, the words of my mouth came from the faith in my heart. Oh, that's good. In the same way, our words are the outcome of our faith. So if you believe and you're not speaking, guess what? It's not faith. Faith, your words are the outcome of something that you believe. So a lot of times when you're talking about, oh, I'm so tired, I hurt, oh, I'm aching, is that what you believe? Because that's what you're saying. Didn't say that that doesn't exist, but my faith is the substance of something not seen. So I need to be talking what I believe. I believe that the healing power, the same power that raised Christ from the dead, is working in me. He's effecting a healing and a cure. He's strengthening my body. What does it say? Let the weak say, I'm tired. No, it says, let the weak say, I'm strong. If you're tired, take a nap. Proverbs 4, verse 20. I'm going to read this in the King James. Then we'll put up a few other translations. Proverbs 4, verse 20. My son, attend to my words. What? Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them where? In the midst of thine heart. Because what comes out of your heart? Words that of things you believe. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. This is the complete Jewish Bible. We're going to ask him to put a few of these up just so you can hear them and meditate on them. The complete Jewish Bible, it says, above everything else, guard your heart, for it is the source of life's consequences. Ugh. Because what comes out of your heart? Words. And words determine things. They set on course. What does the scripture say? It says, that which comes through your lips, it says it sets on fire. Yeah. The New Living Translation, Proverbs 4:23, it says, above all else, guard your heart, for it affects everything you do. This is the New Century Version. It says, be careful what you think, because your thoughts run your life. Your thoughts run your life. If you think you can't, you won't. If you think you can, you may. It didn't say you have to know how. It just says if you think, I'm going to do this. I think I can do it. I'm going to do it. And the more you say it, you'll see it. You'll see how to do it. The problem is we don't see and we talk that we don't see. But it didn't say you had to see. It just said, speak. Faith-filled words. Brother Hagin, you say this for years. Faith-filled words create realities. You have to see it. Man, isn't it interesting? We have to spend here, you know, how many years did Tony Robbins and all of these things, these motivational speakers, you'd spend hundreds and hundreds and thousands of dollars to go hear them and say, see yourself as a success and get them to say it. It's the Bible. Brother Hagin would say it to people that are on their deathbed. He had so many testimonies of people that were people in ministry that were just racked with cancer. And they were up in their late 80s. And I was thinking of this one. This woman was a minister. And she said, just leave me alone. Yeah, I know the word of God. Just leave me alone. I want to go home. He said, I'm not going to do it. He said, why do you need to die sick? He said, if you want to die, he said, that's fine. Go home to be with heaven. But go home well. See yourself, he said, her stomach was all protruded because of cancer in the stomach. He said, see yourself well. see yourself up and doing and preaching? And he said, she took hold of that. She began to see her stomach flat. She began to see herself up behind the pulpit again and preaching. She said, not too long after that, she was up and healed and lived up into her middle to upper 90s or somewhere around 95, 96 before she went home to be with the Lord and got back on the preaching, getting up behind the pulpit again. And I thought, exactly. Exactly. Don't talk sick. Don't talk poor. Talk covenant. Because you are in him, you're healed. In him, you're prosperous. And in him, we have authority in him to change the course of things in our society. Let's start releasing words in our society, in this realm, right? Start speaking words and take back what the devil has just wreaked havoc. I mean, we love people, but people are hurting. And people don't know that they can prosper. People don't know. They just think, well, you know what? I'm doing the best I can. I don't know how we're going to make it. So that's where we land on Joshua. Proverbs 18, 20 and 21 in the King James says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. That means the more you talk negative, you love it. It says, they that love it will eat the fruit of it. I sure don't want that. I don't want to eat that kind of fruit. But guess what? Go back in Numbers, and that's what happened. They ate the fruit of what they talked. Right? They didn't get into the promised land. They had to wander. So we're not wandering. Not this church. And not the people of this church. They've gotten hold of things and they see clearly. They're walking in the love of God. They're hearing the word of God. They're being directed. They're making wise choices. I believe that for you. I believe you're making wise choices. I believe the power of God's working in you, that when you come up against something, you lay hands on it, you command the devil out of it, you speak life to a situation. I believe that. And that's what the constant teaching of the Word of God and reminding us that we're not exempt from trials and situations. That's what Jesus said. Be of good cheer when you fall into divers temptations, as King James said, various issues. Be of good cheer. Just gird yourself up and say, I'm an overcomer. Didn't say your flesh was going to like it. Man, I'll tell you, how many like it when they have to exercise? I like Mark Hankin's joke. He says, yeah, I get up every day. I walk around the block. Then I put the block back under the bed. That's about how most of us think. Let me find the shortcut, the easiest way so I don't have to do anything. Yeah. Yeah. Nobody likes trials. Nobody likes obstacles. Nobody likes adversity. But I'll tell you one thing. When adversity comes, it'll stir you up to say, I'm taking hold of what God promised me, and I'm not letting go. And if you keep speaking it, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and what? Shall not doubt in their heart, but believe the things that you say shall come to pass. You'll have it. Amen. Glory to God. I think we've shared enough today, because it's going to take, you know, let me just close and remind us of this, the New Living of Romans 12:2. It's so important to be reminded of these things, that whenever we start to yield to or embrace certain things that are going on, the scripture is very clear. It tells us, Romans 12:2, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Who's going to change you? God is. And the Word is. Then you will know what God wants you to do, and you will know how good and pleasing and perfect His will really is. Yeah. You know, that word transform, I was looking at this again last night. I stumbled on this article years ago, and it's still available. I think I made copies of it years ago. But it was an article written by a man who was on Sid Roth, and his name was David Martin. And he went to Rhema Bible College years ago. But he talked about, he said God had really put in his heart to study out the word transform. Jesus was transformed on the Mount of Transfiguration. There was transformation. That Greek word is metamorphosis. Would you see a caterpillar go through? And he said, this is saying here, let God transform you. So he said, is it possible for transformation, for glory transformation in us? Is that possible? He began to say, could that actually happen? And he said he found an African tribe in Rwanda back in the 30s. And he said this tribe was called the Shining Ones. Now, if anybody has met someone from Africa, that sometimes their skin is almost black. It's very dark. And he said when he met them, their skin, they documented it. He said their skin glowed. And he said, how did that happen? Transformation. There was an actual transformation. The glory of God shined through them in this earth. And he said, well, what caused that? How did that happen? And he met one of the men who was in his upper 80s, and he explained how that happened. He said it didn't happen overnight. But he said this group, this tribe, what happened was they never let any offense or out, walking out of love or anything. He said they would come together at night and they would ask God for forgiveness. They would get down, they'd pray, they'd seek God, and they'd get it right. And he said over a period of about 30 years, glory began to shine through them. Transformation. And God literally transformed them from the inside out. And what's what we're saying? That healing is in us. Prosperity is in us. Glory is in us. How do we get that to manifest on the outside? How do we get that to affect this soul and this flesh? It's keeping this, putting this flesh down, walking in the love of God and letting the Spirit of God manifest himself. That's what we're really talking about when Joshua says, meditating in the word, speaking it, obeying it, and you will know what to do. You'll have wisdom. Why? It's the glory of God operating in us. Not spooky, you know. It's you're going to walk in a realm, in a consciousness of God as we meditate and speak the word like we've not experienced. That's what happens. It's not spooky. God wants to manifest himself through his body in these end times. That's what he's looking to do. And we're his body. And as we get closer, the things he what shows us, don't do that anymore. It may have been good. It may have been okay for you to do that 5 years ago. And now he's saying, it's like a little child. You raise little children. You go, okay, little. You can do that. Now you get a little older. You go, no. We're not doing that anymore. And that's what happens with us. As we grow spiritually, God then says, no, you can't do that anymore. That's not right for you anymore. And that's how we obey. That's how we transform. That's how his glory begins to work in us and manifest in us. And we're not just bumping around in the dark. Because he said, you are the children of the light. Walk in the light, right? Walk in his glory. Amen. Praise God. Something to think about, meditate on, and pursue. So I'm going to achieve this. I'm going after this. Well, you're not going to get there overnight. But you make a heart decision that I'm going to let God speak to me. I'm going to know him better. That's what the fast is for, getting to know him better so that he can begin to operate through us, pray for certain things, speak life into certain areas, that he can begin to now operate through us in a greater way, right? You're too quiet. Amen. I know you're thinking. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it's real to us. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you live in us. You move in us. You speak to us. You direct us. And thank you that as we obey, we'll miss it less and less and less and less so that we'll know. We will literally walk in the mind of Christ. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you for the opportunity to feed upon your word, to be members of the body of Christ. And we're so grateful. We honor you. We bless you today with our hearts and our lips. And we thank you, Father. Direct our steps this week. Send us across people that don't know you, or we have an encouraging word to someone, and help people in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you're here today and or you're watching online and you don't know him as your Lord and Savior, and you've not asked him to come into your heart, you've not accepted him, maybe you believe that Jesus is the Christ, but you never confessed with your mouth that he was raised from the dead, you never asked him into your heart, now's your opportunity to do so. We always make that opportunity available. So if you're desirous, just say this simple prayer. Father God, I thank you for Jesus. Thank you that you sent him to this earth to die for my sins. I accept him now and believe that he is the Christ. He is the Savior of the world. And I believe that he was raised from the dead after sin was paid for. And I was raised with him. I believe now that I am saved. I believe that I am cleansed with the blood of Jesus, and that my spirit is changed and now has your life in it. If you said that simple prayer, just a simple heart prayer, and you never remember doing that, let us know and we'll give you some free information here today. And if you're watching online, let us know and we'll send that to you and rejoice with you. Amen. Glory to God. Praise God.